Support for today's episode of the Sidebar Podcast is made possible in part thanks to Fart Like You Mean It, a new fart slogan from the makers of America's number one adult brand adult diaper, Your Diapies. Feeling a little male in your inter-office tube shoot? Then you need Your Diapies. Your Diapies puts the staple in your remover so you can fax page after page of memo-reminding mind mud without getting a little coffee in your filter. And the best part? Fart Flavor Crystals. 40,000 pockets of fart-filled flavor crystals, to be exact. Each pocket with 10,000 different pockets that are also filled with pockets. So you can rest easy and not be caught by HR on the bottom floor. Don't flub that presentation. Fart like you mean it. And try Your Diapies today. Your Diapies adult brand adult diapers. For when other diapers won't do.
You were once a baby, then you became a mother, and now you're a father. Welcome to the Sidebar. I'm Sebastian Morales, filling in for Clint Myers Novak, who is currently giraffe hunting in an abandoned Toys R Us. American Songwriter is a magazine dedicated to the craft of music. It features interviews, songwriting tips, news, reviews, and lyric contests. It is based out of Nashville, which is on this Peabody Award-winning journalist no-visit zone due to a mix-up in paperwork and a fervent intolerance for inbreeding. Our guest today is a frequent contributor to American Songwriter with her bi-monthly article, Why the Radio Kills Music, which covers her thoughts on why the radio kills music. Sage, welcome to the Sidebar.
Thank you for having me. What a beautiful day today.
And it is a beautiful day. You are calling in, and are you on a farm right now?
I am on a farm. I'm taking a long weekend to recuperate after the Tony Awards. I wasn't there. I was just watching, but I needed to recuperate.
But you have a habit of performing along to the Tony Awards, even though you're not present.
Correct. It's my own type of protest.
And you live streamed it.
Mm-hmm. On Facebook Live and YouTube Red.
And how did that go viewership-wise?
We saw a jump this year in viewership. It was really beautiful. Beautiful people, a lot of great comments. A lot of negative comments as well, but I tend to filter those out.
Now, you filter them out, but you do print them out and write them down, and you keep them in a binder.
I do, yes.
And you use that as motivation.
I use that to punish myself if I don't have a new song out by the end of the month. I go back and look at the binder and, you know, get that negative self-talk going to motivate me and to stop me from being such a bad artist.
And what started as a motivation actually turned into a worldwide book tour.
Yes.
So you have your motivations, and these are negative comments, but you went on a school circuit and basically the method here was to put children down to build them up so they could sing properly.
Correct. Yes. I went on a multi-state tour. I went to Nebraska twice because, you know, those Nebraska school children just need that little extra motivation. And I went to those cafe gymatorium type things. And in the school assemblies, I would come up, read from my poor comments, and ask the children from that day's detention to come forward, and we would publicly shame them. That way, they would be sure to perform their best.
And there's several different strategies to publicly shame a student. There's the group laugh, mm-hmm. where you just all circle around him and laugh until he cries, or she, or they. Crying tears is the ultimate goal. And what you found was that lunch ladies, very good at putting children down. A lot of pent-up aggression and anger.
Yes. We've had some troubles with lunch ladies in the past when they would resort to physical violence and throwing of the trays and leftover milk cartons. But we haven't really had that problem since March of last year.
So lunch ladies, in a sense, are an untapped resource.
Oh, yes. When I was looking for more motivation in my work, I actually visited my elementary school's lunch lady, Bertha. She's still there, still beautiful as ever. And to my surprise, she too had a journal of negative thoughts she had about me that she kept to this day.
And that actually is her songbook. And what you found out was that Bertha sings like an angel.
Oh, beautiful.
And so she sang her insults at you, and that motivated you, and you came out with an album within a week.
Mm-hmm. And that's why that both the album and my book are both dedicated to sweet Bertha.
New York Times bestseller list, gold album. Now, let's touch on your article, Why the Radio Kills Music. Why does the radio kill music?
Oh, thank you for asking. The radio kills music in so many different ways. A lot of artists are making music now just so that they can get that top 20 hit. And that's really not what art is about, is it? It's about your pent-up anger. It's about the abuse you endured as a child. It's about your babysitter who sexually molested you. It's about all sorts of things. And those aren't the type of things that you usually hear on the radio. So I'm refusing to have my music played on the radio as a type of, what's the word?
Performance art.
Performance art, thank you.
Now, I always thought art was just when you took a bunch of nonsense and threw it onto a canvas and let somebody smarter than you interpret it.
And I'm smarter than most people. So what I do is interpret it for you and tell you whether or not you should be monetizing off it by putting it on the radio.
And I'll be honest, at first here at the Sidebar, we didn't believe you. So we sent our beloved researcher, the Internetty Harper, out into the field to meet with you. And you sort of put her through a crash course. And how did that go?
You know, it was difficult. She didn't fully understand at first.
She never does.
As you know, she ended up in a terrible car accident that was unplanned.
I just want to say that Addie is expected to make not a full recovery, but almost a full recovery. And that is the best that we can hope for.
That's great to hear.
And you were there. You witnessed the accident, and I'm sorry you had to see that.
I did, yes. She was pushed in front of a semi-truck.
She was.
By my intern.
By your intern.
Mm-hmm.
Seems everybody these days has an intern for college credit.
For college credit, that's right. High school credit, actually.
High school credit, that's the only way to do it, actually. You limit the hours, you limit the exposure. Now, the accident, though, with Addie inspired your next tour.
Yes, it did. I try my hardest to pull my motivation and pull my art out of tragedy.
Now, Look Out, Addie is the single. It hits home, obviously. And
because she was hit.
Because she was hit. And you were right there. Now, when she was hit, you didn't rush to her aid. You actually ran for your notebook.
Well, first I took a series of photos. We were on our way to a photo shoot, and I was already, you know, in my hair and makeup. So, you know, inspiration just hit. And we had the photographer there. And that's the album art you see is mm-hmm. her mangled body on the road. And it's really a beautiful piece. We had to stop the paramedics because they were trying to interrupt the flow. But we did get what we needed. And we're just so thankful to Addie.
Well, the shot is always the most important thing. You get the shot. It's sort of, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, I always say.
Couldn't agree more.
And I believe that was actually in Addie's contract when she signed on to the Sidebar podcast. Now, you've actually gone to different radio stations, and you've had to explain yourself a little bit, because you do need to promote your album and your songs, but you are, for the most part, anti-radio.
Correct. I don't really believe in radio. It just doesn't, it's just so monetized by, you know, capitalism and by ads nowadays. But I do see the value in talk and relationships. And my hope is that by traveling to public radio stations and telling them why what they're doing is wrong, their listeners will then, in turn, purchase my album.
And you've been met with mixed results, though. some of these listeners, they're burning your album.
Yes, they are. But that is why the photo of Addie is printed on that eco-friendly paper, so that when it burns, a tree grows in Botswana.
Right, and you actually put various seeds into the paper of the artwork, so when they bury the album, a tree grows.
Mm-hmm. You have to think ahead.
You have to think ahead. You have to be eco-friendly in this digital age. Terrestrial radio is...
And also, that's what art's about, you know? If you were to please everybody, then it wouldn't make sense. So the people that get it and get me and my work, the music is for them.
Now, I want to shift to your personal relationships a little bit, because while you are anti-radio, is it husband now?
Yes.
Is it your husband owns several radio stations?
He does. He owns NPR. And it's been a point of contention in our marriage. But it's something we're working on in therapy. And it's something that I plan to make him change about himself.
And what type of therapy is it? It's a very specific type.
Massage therapy.
So it's massage therapy with a therapist?
No.
No, so it's not verbal at all.
Correct.
And how far along are you into the massage therapy?
7 years.
7 years. Now, a lot of people would have given up after the sixth year. They say if you can't rub it out within 6 years, the seventh year is superfluous.
And that's why it's been a rough year for us. We really felt that strain as well. But we set our marriage vows and we believe in each other. And... I mean, we've only been married for 2 months, so...
So, even though you've been having massage therapy for 7 years, you've only been married for 2 months.
Correct, and we've only known each other for 4.
So the relationship started off not even a relationship.
Well, you could say that, but I believe in my spiritual practices that when a soul meets another soul, they had already known one another. Do you understand what I'm saying? It may be a little too... above your pay grade.
It's above my pay grade, but I know very well, being down in the doldrums of the Sidebar Podcast corporate offices, and from being raised in a war-torn area in Chile, where my soul was literally ripped from my body as I slept.
You know, I had to watch my cat. My cat died when I was little, and that's almost the same thing as your experience.
Well, you're heavily into crystals. And you dabble in astral projection, mm-hmm. and you actually astral projected the soul of your cat off of the planet.
Correct.
And where did he land?
Pluto.
Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
A dog.
Yes.
No.
Do you see how just funny that is, and how the world and the universe are always working together in ways that really you can't understand, but I can?
So you're very inspired by the planets, by the universe, the Milky Way.
By Mother Earth.
And astrology.
Yes.
Now, I am a Virgo. I suppose if I said, what does a Virgo mean in the songwriting universe, an American songwriter, how would you interpret my soul?
Talentless.
Talentless.
That's just something that's well known about Virgos. Really small-minded and stuck in one way of life and not open to the beauty of the world. This is true. You can find this about any Virgo.
Now, I believe you might have done your initial interview with my rival here, Clint Myers Novak, and I feel like he might have sullied your perception and your perspective on me and really what I bring to the table here. I'd like to think that if it was a 50-50 proposition, I'm bringing 70%.
Well, Clint really is a great, great man.
He's okay.
He's someone I met, and you know what I said about your soul just knowing another soul? We really hit it off, and I don't know if you know this about my marriage, but we are also in an open marriage, and Clint is also a very generous lover.
Now, Clint is famously a Scorpio, He'll let you know?
Mm-hmm.
What are Scorpios bringing?
Oh, he didn't have to let me know. I knew right away.
So what would you say a Scorpio is in terms of a songwriting talent, musical identification, leading the masses?
Well, Scorpios are known, as you well know, for their oversized genitals. And every Scorpio on Earth, their penis is at least 3 inches larger than their Virgo rivals. And that does, in fact, change the way their musicality is. So they just tend to be better lovers, performers, electricians, accountants.
Well, I'm going to interject and just say that I have urinated next to Clint Myers Novak here at the sidebar many times, and I don't believe his penis is as big as you say it is, and I don't believe that his new band that he is trying to form with you, the Scorpios, is going to be a success. I think it's going to be an absolute failure, not at your hand, but sometimes when you have a big, engorged penis and you're trying to front a band and you've never sang professionally or have any training whatsoever, regardless of how many times your father dies in 9/11 and how many times you exploit his death for your own personal gain, success just won't come. It won't be there.
I think I feel like I struck a chord with you, and I feel like I need to clear the air. He's not my lover. He's my husband's lover.
Oh, so you just watch.
Correct.
So observation plays a heavy hand in writing music.
Yes. Oh, yes, it does. And actually, in the opening song of my new album is just 30 seconds that I recorded of them having anal play.
And that's called My Husband's Lover.
Correct.
And it's a country song.
Mm-hmm. Country electropop.
You've played it on the farm. You've played it in the city. Where do you like to play the most? Where are you most comfortable?
I'm most comfortable in nature, normally in the nude, maybe in a meadow by my home. That's really where I do my best work, and that's really where I turn to when I don't make enough money for the rent and I get evicted.
Well, you've been, you are a pioneer of yoga pop.
Thank you. Yes. I don't like to use the word pioneer, but I have been called that.
And how does that go? It's a class that you teach, but it's also a concert.
It's a class/concert. It's $450 for half an hour, which is a great deal. Mm-hmm. And instead of using yoga mats, we use burlap sheets. And everyone comes dressed in the nude, and we record in nature almost always. And if I'm doing this tour in the city, then it's nature at your local park. And the turnout has been outstanding.
And you're getting some high-profile celebrities to attend these events.
Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Chesney.
Now, you almost lost Gwyneth Paltrow.
I did, because her very, very similar event was happening on the same day, and there was some competition, but you know, as you know, Gwenny and I go way back, and she agreed to reschedule. Bless her heart.
Well, that was nice of her.
Oh, it was. I paid her as well.
Well, I believe if you're a celebrity and you want to have any friends, you have to pay them.
I found the same thing, if not in extended eye contact and compassion, in 40 G's.
Every gesture has a price. Now, when you're using crystals, do you buy these crystals? Do you make them?
Most of the crystals that I use are mass produced and sold at Urban Outfitters, But I have found that the best crystals are the ones that are mined from small children in Ethiopia.
Because of their small hands?
Because of their small bodies and small minds.
So they really need to get into the crevices to get the crystal, to identify it. Now, is there a high mortality rate?
You know, I'm not sure about that question. I tend to be a consumer where I don't need to know what's happening. My husband has tried to, you know, inform me about this.
Well, a lot of people would pay more for a backstory. Backstory is everything these days.
Is this about Clint again? Are we still...
It was probably going to circle back there, yes. Clint and I, you know, we've had our odds, and we've made up, and we're at odds again. And, now that I know that his penis is just a little bit bigger than mine, not much, but just a little bit, even though his wife doesn't prefer such a big penis, and he knows that, and I believe our listenership knows that, and I don't know if Addie knows that, but if Addie comes out of her coma in time, I'll be sure to tell her. Bill'll be my first words to her, I believe, when she wakes up.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because Clint has access to a small village of young children in Ethiopia, and he had them extract the most beautiful crystal that he gifted to me and my husband, and that they use in their anal play. So I was just wondering if he did the same for you.
He didn't, but what I do want to touch on when we come back is the Ethiopian children's anal choir. Not what it sounds like when we come back. Nothing says sports like skating around and beating the shit out of each other. That's why there's Penalty Box by Airbox, the only Stanley Cup certified box on the market that puts hockey players in penalty boxes, then fills those boxes with boxes of air in boxes in boxes, so you can catch your breath and reflect on the shit-kicking you just dealt. And if you're worrying about the players not being able to breathe, don't! It's air. Air in boxes that ship in boxes, in a box, in a box, in a box. Penalty Box by Airbox, the only air subscription service that is NHL Arena certified and piped through pipes under ice that are then boxed in boxes and shipped in boxes that come in boxes in boxes in boxes, in a box, in a box, in a box, in a box, in a box. Support for the Sidebar Podcast is also brought to you by the Dre Pride Parade. Not to be confused with Gay Pride, the Dre Pride Parade is your one-stop march for Andres. What do Dr. Dre and Andre 3000 and Andre Brower have in common? What do Andre Drummond and Andre the Giant have in common? What do Andre Agassi and Andre Johnson and Andre Ethier all have in common? They're gay. For all things Andre! And why shouldn't they be? They're Andres. And this year, we've added Andreas to pair with the Andres, sponsored by Andy's Candies, because all good things come in threes, even parades. Wait, there's a third parade? You bet. It's the Gay Slide Parade. LGBTLMNOP, friendly, and in every color. It's the most supportive, interactive, Andre-inclusive parade yet. Parades, because who doesn't like parades? And we're back with Sage from American Songwriter Magazine, Why the Radio Kills Music. Sage, let's go into your name.
Yes.
Why Sage?
Well, I really felt like I had to be reborn and claim my own identity and lose my family name.
Rabinowitz. Was I allowed to say that? We can edit it.
We can edit it.
Addie, where
did you learn that?
Well, here at the Sidebar, we have limited funds, but we're all pretty good at research.
Great.
Also, the name of your first album was not Rabinowitz.
I suppose that was a clue.
Now, what I found interesting was not Jewish. You're not Jewish.
I'm not, no.
You have a Jewish last name, but you're not Jewish.
Correct. We knew someone who was Jewish, and that just really felt like we could be part of the identity.
Now, what is your nationality? What is your background?
I don't really believe in backgrounds. I believe we're all of the earth. But if you had to pick a place, I'd say we're just full-blooded Trump-supporting Americans.
Are you a Trump supporter?
You know, I don't get into politics.
Neither do I, even though I have a political show.
I do believe in making America great again through yoga, songwriting, not listening to the radio.
And taking their radio away.
And deportation.
And deportation. And radio.
Correct.
Now, what is an America without radio? We'll get back to deportation in a second. But what is an America without radio?
America without radio is the way it should be, the way it always was, where the music that we heard was pure and, you know, things that you just celebrate. You'd sing at church. You'd sing to your chickens as you pluck them. You'd sing with your old Nana. And that's the America I'm trying to return to.
Now, tell me about your training and tell me about your Nana.
Right. So when I first started, I was just a young, shy girl, little farm girl. And I would sing to the farm animals while doing my chores. And one day my Nana walked in as I was slaughtering the cows, and she just loved my voice. I was singing Josh Groban's You Lift Me Up, You Raise Me Up, as I was raising up the carcass. And she realized such talent and I really had to move to the big city. I had to forego my name and identity, and that's what I've done.
And you were able to do this because of funds contributed by Nana. Mm-hmm. Nana liquidated her accounts for your success. Correct. But you didn't quite pay it back. Nana didn't have a happy ending.
No, she did not, unfortunately. I did contribute to the funeral. And I did send flowers, but I did not attend. There was also some controversy. My father, you know, thinks I forced Nana into doing this because she didn't have the best memory at the time. And she may have thought the music she was hearing was coming from the cow itself. A little delirious. But these are all speculations, and I can assure you that Nana believed in me.
Believed that the animals were speaking and singing to her.
Mm, correct.
Now, you did dedicate the Farm Music Awards after her. These are Nana's Farm Music Awards, and there are different categories. There's singing to corn.
Right, you have the grain farmers, you have dairy, and you have those muscular men that drive the tractors in circles all day.
So there's a tractor category.
Mm-hmm.
How does that, is it American standards, or those are new songs?
No, these are old opera.
Opera. Mm-hmm. You go by vocal range.
Mm-hmm.
So there are falsettos and baritones, sopranos.
And I'm one of those rare talents where my range is unlimited. So I sing the soprano and the bass.
Now, would it be too presumptuous to have you sing or just kind of mouth along to your wheat wielding single, Wheat in the Field?
Not at all. I'd be happy to oblige.
If I can provide backup vocals.
Please.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to simulate some wind, and that'll be my contribution.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is a real treat here at the sidebar. And here we go.
Wind is amazing. I love to fall all day. When I'm on the tractor, I feel at home.
That was great. That actually made me want to eat oatmeal.
Thank you. I've you're not the first person to tell me that.
Wheat is very inspirational. Now, there are companies out there that control a vast majority of the crops here in America, and they wanted to hire you as their spokeswoman. They wanted to use your song in commercials and in advertising, and you said no.
I did say no. I just don't really believe in capitalism, and I don't really believe in radio or advertisements or the economy. I believe it's the economy is a state of mind.
But you're pro-farmer, pro-wheat.
Correct. Make America great again.
By making it communist? Did I say communist? Socialist?
You probably shouldn't say that.
I tell you what. I won't say communist. I won't say socialist. I don't want to label anybody. I'm not trying to put anybody on a list. I'm just going to whistle into the microphone every time I think one of those thoughts. Now, you're trying to make America wheat again. That is your slogan. What does that mean?
It means that we just need to get back to our roots. And by roots, I mean the root of the plant. And I'm just trying to encourage farmers to, you know, get on board with this trade war with China and stop selling wheat to the Chinese.
And you've been chosen to visit China. You are going to become a wheat ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is that?
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm truly excited about this. The Chinese don't really understand how to make wheat themselves. So I was sent as a UN ambassador to teach the poor Chinese how to farm correctly through my standardized singing technique. And we've found in many studies that by singing to the wheat, your wheat is going to just grow bigger, not faster, not tastier, but just the grain itself will swell.
Happy wheat.
Happy, swollen wheat.
Throbbing, pulsating, swollen wheat.
A little moist as well.
And you can roll that wheat and you can
smoke it.
Smoke it. Now, people don't know that there are certain strains of wheat which are comparable to cannabis. Mm-hmm. And they have it in China, and you have this strain that nobody else here in America has, and you haven't been able to bring it to the States yet, mm-hmm. but you're working on legislation.
I'm working on it. And this trade war with China, you know, is just an important step, and we need to focus on what makes America great again. And if we can bring this Chinese product to America, it's going to be even greater.
Now, does it have the same effects as normal cannabis? I mean,
no, it's closer to heroin.
Closer to heroin. Correct. But it looks like marijuana.
Right. And it's packaged in Wheaties boxes.
Oh, it is. So, and you're sticking with the same slogan. It's the breakfast of champions. But then the champions have changed. They're no longer athletes.
Right.
They're champions of drugs.
They're drug champions and farmers.
Now, what do you think are going to be some of the benefits, some of the industries that you can use this medicinal medicinal or recreational? Is it medicinal or recreational?
Depends on the state.
Okay, so say it's California. You have recreational marijuana, Chinese marijuana, which is street name heroin. Who's smoking this? Is this for white-collar people, blue-collar people?
Just white people in general.
Now, we talked about the immigration crisis.
So sad.
About people being deported unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you think that
fairly.
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 Now, you've advocated that if they're going to leave the country, why are they leaving empty-handed?
Right. You came to this country, this great, great, better than their awful country, to farm and to work, and unfortunately you came in the wrong avenue. So we should at least give you like a goodie bag on your way out. Well, and potentially hooking you to my product so you will then become a consumer.
Well, you say goodie bag. Others would call them drug mules. And
others are misinformed.
Usually when you go to a party here in America and you're given a parting gift, a goodie bag, it's not sewn into your stomach. You have millions of dollars invested in this product.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your spokesperson, Sage?
I'm really trying to make Mother Earth the spokeswoman. You know, I believe in women's rights. And because it's hard to make the Earth, like, personify her, it's just me, but I wear an Earth t-shirt.
It seems like you're distracting people with your urban hymns to push forth a propagandistic agenda of infiltrating America with Chinese heroin.
You know, that's one way to look at it, but this is why I don't believe in radio.
You're selling the heroin in cereal boxes, which children buy. Children look up to them. There are heroes on those boxes.
Look, we don't need to cover the specifics. All I'm saying is that radio is a dying art form, and the rest of it is just, you know, details.
Did you not have any heroes growing up?
I did.
On the farm?
I did.
Who are your heroes?
Paris Hilton. She's the only one I had. You know that TV show where her and Nicole Richie went to the farm and they learned, it was this called The Simple Life.
I do know that, yes.
That was a documentary about me. I was cut out, but it was my farm.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes, thank you.
Now, what was your role on that show?
I was teaching them the ways of the farm, and they were teaching me the ways of drug muling.
And that's when you got your first taste for
heroin.
Daddy Smack heroin.
And wheat.
Farm wheat.
Correct.
Sounds redundant, but wheat is wheat. Farm wheat is not wheat. Farm wheat.
Right, there's farm-grown wheat and there's sea-grown wheat.
And you use the farm wheat yourself to write songs.
That's the best way to do it, to use your own product and to feel invigorated by it, and just, that's how the magic comes out. Do you understand what I'm, this may be above your pay grade, but do you understand?
I understand. I actually don't even take a salary here. I donate all of my money to Seeking Vengeance for my family. I've brought it up more than I'd like to on this episode, and I'm sure we'll edit around it. But there are some effects of your product that I think would be beneficial for my mission.
I would love to contribute to your mission.
And if you could come out to Los Angeles, and maybe we could smoke some Chinese opium or Chinese heroin. It's not opium. It's wheat.
It's wheat.
It's not opium. It's wheat. And you can have that one.
The Chinese pronunciation is wheat.
Huitin is something different. Is something else.
Correct. It's a different dialect.
And for our listeners, that was me saying something about communism,
which I don't appreciate.
Well, not a lot of people do. Now, we're going to circle back to the Ethiopian anal choir. And really, there's a lot of roster spots that are just, they're wide open. And there's nothing sexual about what we're saying. These are children singing with an unfortunate name.
Right. It's a total misconception. And if anything, they should be called the Ethiopian crystal geysers, because they sing so beautifully and also dig out blood crystals.
Not to be confused with the Ethiopian ball-gargling tit monsters.
And that's the girls' choir.
That is the all-female choir in Ethiopia. What is the future of your role with American Songwriter? What's coming up next? What is the next article from Sage?
Well, next, you can find me in my continuing national tour. Tickets are available wherever you get your ticketing. Find them on my Instagram at @itssageloveme, please. And, you know, what's next is just continuing to share my art and share my weed.
Well, I'd love to say that you are an inspiration. It's to be determined. I don't feel one way or the other as of yet.
It has been determined in many parts of the country.
Predetermined by your social outreach and your influence. You are an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that you should keep influencing, but tread lightly and stay away from Clint Myers Novak.
I could say the same to you.
Coming up next week on the Sidebar, Emmy considerations. Are they considerate? I'm Sebastian Morales, saying see you next time.